This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
All right, let's welcome on to the show, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, the starting linebacker for the Washington football team, Cole Holcomb, joins us right now. And I don't know that I've had you on the show since maybe the day you were drafted. And I've often talked about you and that draft back in 2019. Do you know who it was in the organization who fell in love with you when they came down to work you out?
I think it was Jay.
Yeah, it was Jay. You know, Jay's taken so much credit for you over the years. Jay said I forget who they were down there looking at. Maybe you remember. And he came away with that saying, we got to get that guy. And he was pushing everybody that entire draft. No, we got to take him now. We got to take him now. We're going to lose him. So I'm surprised. So I'm assuming that you were not surprised that you were picked by Washington in that draft.
I mean, I actually was. They were actually the only team I didn't talk to through the whole process. I talked to, I think, all 31 except for Washington. So when I got that call, I was surprised. I actually thought I was going to Dallas. Was the funny thing. They were telling me they were going to take me in the fifth, and then they took two guys that they had third round grades on, and they were like, we're going to try and trade up and get a sixth round pick. So I was thinking I was going to Dallas, and then I got that call from Jay, and it was funny because actually when I got the call from Jay, I think it might have been the Rams. They were texting about it. They were calling, like, answer the phone. I think we're going to take you, because they had the very next pick, and that first pick of the sixth round, and they're like, we're going to draft you. I was like, sitting there, hey man, you're too late.
did you tell them that?
Yeah, I was. I texted them like, look at the ticker or something like that.
But that's interesting that Washington was the only team that didn't talk about you, because I've talked to Jay about you in particular, and he said. And you knew that too. You knew that Jay really liked you. But maybe they just didn't want people to, you know, sort of understand how badly they wanted you, because they really wanted you in that draft. Anyway, enough about the draft. What do you think, or why do you think the defense is playing better over these last 3 weeks?
In a lot of the interviews before, I just kept saying we're this close. You know, like if you watch the tape, man, we were just, you know, a step or two or 6 inches, or making the guy hold the ball for just a little bit longer, or, you know, getting more coordinated with the rush. You know, it's like each play there was just one little thing that's like, we really were that close. And I think it's coming to show that, you know, we're taking that extra step. We're paying attention to those little details and getting those things honed in.
Give me an example, if you can. If you can't, it's not a big deal. But give me, like, an example of one of those little things, you know, one of those details, whether, you know, it was against Green Bay or Kansas City or Denver. Because I think most of us watching the games are like, you know, they're still not getting off the field on third down, but it looks better. But give me an example of the little things that you weren't getting done that made you so close, but now you are getting done.
I think a lot of it was, you know, winning on second down. We'd get a team in second and long, and they would get a 9-yard run, and now we're playing third and one versus, you know, we're winning on those second downs now and keeping them in third and long, which makes it harder for them to convert. I think we've done pretty well on third downs. We had, I don't know how many three and outs we had against Seattle.
A lot.
I feel like we've improved a lot on third down after that bye week. And the biggest one, like the little detail stuff, like the biggest one that I like was looking at, and I always use this as an example in like my interviews, I think it was the Atlanta game. Like there was one play where if I would have, they were an empty, so I can get to my landmark quicker. We were playing a cover three, so I can connect to three being that hook player. And if I take that throw away, he's got to go through his two more progressions to get to the next guy that's open. And I think Tez was, like, if I would have took that route away, Tez gets a sack, and it was second and four. Now it's third and one versus third and 10.
Right.
And now that's what we're getting to. We're getting those little details down, keeping them in third and long, winning on first and second down, doing our job. Guys are, you know, understanding their positions in the defense a lot better. I think we're communicating a lot better. Guys are getting more confidence, and we're getting a better feel for all the guys on the field.
I think one of the things that hasn't been emphasized enough, and maybe you guys are doing it, which is why I'm going to ask you about it, I think you guys are tackling much better. You know, the third down numbers were horrific third down numbers for the first eight games, and they are now incredible. You're 10 of 31 on third down in the last three games. That would put you, if that were the number, that'd put you in the top three in the league, if that was an all-year thing. But I think there were a lot of missed tackles and sloppy tackling in those first eight games, and I haven't noticed that in the last three games. Is that a fair observation or not?
That's very fair. I mean, we definitely emphasized it a lot more. I think Del Rio and the defense staff did a great job emphasizing it, because you're right. Like we were missing tackles on the outside, you know, breaking down way too early, not taking our shot. So I think it's just like I said, trusting the guy that, hey, these guys, you got guys that are hustling to the ball, that are going, so take your shot and don't be afraid. You know, like I was laughing because I was telling the guys, like, dude, take your shot, because I'm coming to clean up. And in the beginning, that's why I had a lot of tackles, because I was cleaning up because we were missing them. And then
right.
Now I'm laughing. I'm like, hey, guys, like, hold them up. Let me get in there.
Well, you had a lot of tackles, I think, against Carolina. That was the game. I mean, you were really active, and I think you had a bunch of tackles in that game. Not as many on Monday night, but you guys were only on the field for 45 snaps, which is the next thing I was going to ask you. When the offense is on one of these long drives like they've been in the last three games, are you guys over there paying attention? Hey, they converted another third down. That means another, you know, three plays. I mean, how much of that specifically do you notice?
We notice it a lot. I mean, it's the difference between, we're fresh. We're nice and fresh when we get on the field, when our offense stays on the, it sustains those long drives, versus, you know, like you got enough time to come and get a sprinkle of water and then you're right back out there. It's trust me, we definitely notice it, and we appreciate our offense a lot for that.
Does there ever come a time, seriously, for somebody who loves playing football, that you're like, okay, just finish the drive. I want to get out and play again.
Yeah, I always want to see your offense score, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but score quickly so we can get out. It's been 30 minutes of real time since we've been on the field.
Yeah, especially these colder games, being a Florida guy. I'm like, come on, I gotta warm back up. but no, it's definitely a lot. It's definitely nicer. You know, I mean, I think in the beginning of the season, you know, we're averaging 80-something snaps a game, so that's almost cutting it in half.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we appreciate being fresh, and we appreciate the offense staying on that field and allowing us to get nice and fresh so we can heat them up.
I don't know if you've ever heard this story about Steve Spurrier. It's one of the funniest Spurrier stories ever. He's coaching at South Carolina, and his defense is on the field and the other team's offense is on a long clock eating, 15-play drive, and he gets on the headset with his defensive coordinator and he just says, "Charlie, either stop him or let him score. I got some ball plays that are going to work. I want to get my offense back out there."
Yeah,
So I'm sure you've been asked this, and if you haven't, I'm curious if I haven't heard your answer to it, but you know what media people and fans are saying. It's like, is it coincidental that all of a sudden they're playing great defense in the three games that they haven't had their two young defensive end studs? Why do you think that is?
I think it's just a coincidence. I think if Chez and Chase were out there, like I said, the guys were gelling a lot more as a defense. We know where guys are going to be. We're trusting each other. I think Tez and Chase would have done the same thing and would have done a great job. I think the guys that have stepped in their place have done a tremendous job stepping up in their place. But, no, I think we'd be on the same page if we had Tez and Chase out there as well.
Well, that's the right answer. Cole Holcomb joining us on the show. Who on defense, other than the obvious in recent weeks, like John Allen and Kendall had a great game the other day, Landon's been playing really well, but who are you guys talking about that maybe we're not noticing as much that's really developed, really played well here recently?
I think Jamin stepped up a lot in terms of his knowledge of the defense and getting a lot more confidence. All our DNs that have stepped in their place and Chase and Tez's place, Shaka, Casey Tuhill, James Smith Williams, Boomy. Those guys have, like I said, they had big shoes to fill, and I think they're doing a tremendous job. I love the way Danny Johnson plays. I think he's done a tremendous job coming in and playing that nickel spot and playing corner. I think a lot of the guys have stepped up to the call. We've had a lot of different moving pieces, and the guys have to be fluid every week because we could change up the game plan on who's playing what and depending on matchups and stuff like that. So I think the guys have done a really good job at being flexible and also being coachable and doing what they're supposed to do.
Cole Holcomb joining us on the show. You mentioned Jamin Davis's name. So give everybody just 30 seconds on what the issues were. I think most of us understand, young player, new position, NFL, different caliber. But give us what sort of the issues were early and what he's getting now that he wasn't getting earlier.
I think in the beginning he was really overwhelmed. We were asking him to play Mike.
Right.
And I think the Mike spot has a lot more thinking to it, and it can be overwhelming. I've had my struggles with it at times too. And I think, we made the switch. We moved him in the middle of the season to dime and let him kind of be that athlete and play fast and just trust what he sees playing on the outside a little more. I think we did that against Green Bay. And then, we started playing better. And, I think he's gotten, gained a lot more confidence and understanding and getting those reps. I think it was, a trial by combat in terms of, he's a first rounder, you're going to throw him in the fire. And in our linebacker spot, there's a lot. They put a lot on us to fix things, make checks, certain stuff like that. So we put a lot on his plate. And I think, he being able to calm it down, he's definitely felt, like I said, he tells me every day, I'm getting more and more of the hang of it. I'm starting to feel it. And I'm like, yeah, man, like on that play, they ran a boot and he went and blew dude up in the flat. Right. Like I was like, that's.
Yeah. I mean, there have been a couple of plays. I mean, there was a play actually in the KC game when he closed on Mahomes like it was a flash. Like, he did. How athletic is he? How fast is he? I mean, you're fast. I think you really can move on a field. How athletic is he?
Dude, that man can roll. He can roll. When And that's the thing. When he sees it and he trusts it and he trusts his reads and he plays with that confidence, that's when you see, like, you truly see that speed. And it's like, man, just keep, we need more of that. Just keep doing that. And we will live with whatever happens. And, I think, like I said, he's getting a feel for it more and more. So he's getting more and more of those plays each game.
Do you guys ever refer to Landon Collins as a linebacker?
Landon is he's a Swiss Army knife, man. He comes down in the box. You got him playing a bunch of different positions. That versatility, man, it really helps. You can change a lot of looks, especially like when you have Landon, Cam, and Bobby out there. That's basically having three safeties out there that can all kind of roam around and play any position right out of those three spots, whether it's, if it's the nickel, if it's the down safety, if it's playing middle post. So I think they're having those guys and be able to change looks on not let an offense know exactly what we're doing.
Sure.
I think it's a tremendous help. And we all know Landon's not afraid to come in the box and shoot a gap and blitz and play fast. So it's nice having him on the field.
Ron told me earlier in the season when John Bostic was out, and I said, what's going to be missed most about Bostic? Because, fans' reaction to Bostic and the way he was playing, they didn't think it would be much of a loss. And I said, I sense from you that there's going to be a loss. And he said, he's like another coach on the field. Who's replaced him as the other coach on the field? Is it you?
Yeah, I got the green dot. I mean, I feel like I've had the green dot all season, but it was definitely a learning process, having it be like the first time that I truly had it. I think there were moments last year where we'd switch it around and, one drive I'd have it, one drive JB would have it. This year it's really just been all me, so it's definitely been a learning process. Having JB out there with me was, I could lean on him a lot to help me out. With him gone, it was, hey, you got to do this or nobody's going to do it. Especially, Jamin's a rookie. He's, like I said, he's still trying to figure it out. So, he didn't understand what certain things, like what formations were telling you and certain stuff. So, but now he's starting to get that formation recognition, understanding when guys are going to move, when guys are going to motion, seeing how it looks. The tells to, so he can start expecting stuff to happen versus just reacting. I've definitely taken on that role in terms of, hey, you got to get everybody on the same page and get everybody rolling.
Right.
Each game, I feel more confidence in it each game.
Talking to Cole Holcomb here on the show. So how much are you guys talking about playoff position? You're in it right now, the 7 seed at 5-6. It's what 3 wins in a row will do in a crowded, conference. What are you guys talking about? And is it similar to what you went through last year at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's there. I think it's funny, I can't remember what it was on, the movie, like Dumb and Dumber or something like that. So we got a chance.
You're saying we got a chance.
But no, it's one game at a time, man. We've kept that mentality. You can't really look ahead too far. Focus on the one game at a time. We got to keep it rolling, and that's the only way that we can do it. If we start looking ahead too far, you get caught up in certain stuff. So, I think Ron's done a great job in terms of keeping us focused and just, hey, like this week it's Vegas, next week we'll deal with it. Just like I said, one game at a time and we'll take it from there.
A couple more for Cole Holcomb. I'm just curious, is there a player in the past or in the league now that you have attempted to pattern your game after?
I wouldn't say a specific player. I mean, I knew in college my position coach was Levante's at Nebraska, so he'd always have me watch Levante David and in Tampa, and then here they love Luke.
Right.
So I've watched a lot of Luke Kuechly film. Also, looking at Luke, TD, Shaq, all those guys. And you know, it's been nice having Ron here and having that connection to Luke in terms of, you know, him extending that contact out to me, so I have him to talk to a lot.
Do you talk to him a lot?
Yeah. I've been leaving him alone. I've been trying to leave him alone this season, but you know, in the off season I talked to him a lot and tried to pick his brain a bunch. Like I said, the way I was laughing, like, it was like after I got done talking to him one day, we talked for like 3-4 hours, and I'm like, man, I'm sitting here, and the way I feel, I'm like, okay, I know the game. Like, I'm probably in like a 200, 300 level college class, and this dude's teaching like the 500 level classes with how much he knows, and his recall is insane, because we're talking about certain games, and he's like, oh, this quarterback, like, I know exactly his checks, and this is what he does, and this is, I'm like, man, and he was spot on, like, didn't miss a beat. And I'm like, he's been out 2 years, and you already know these quarterbacks, these OCs, like, you know, still know him, like, the recall on that dude is insane.
That's awesome, and that's awesome that he's helpful to you. I've found it, you know, from observing some of Ron's former players, just how much they believe in him and respect him. And Kuechly once said that, you know, we were in the midst of a bad season, but that guy stands up in a room and talks, and we believe him. Is that sort of your experience with Rivera too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it doesn't matter. He's always going to bring his best, and he's always going to, nothing's going to change with that man. He's always going to bring, the same mentality, same attitude every day.
All right, let's finish this up, because you've been very generous with your time. So it's Vegas on Sunday. First of all, just out of curiosity, I know you guys are leaving on Saturday. Are there any new rules for this road trip, like curfew or anything like that, because it's Vegas?
No, I mean, I think the guys are, you know, we have a mature team in that sense. You know, they know what they got to get done. We're here to play a football game. We're not here to go have a party. And
is there anybody you got to worry about?
No, I trust all the guys.
So what are the keys to a win? I mean, you got Derek Carr, you got Josh Jacobs. Just talk about, you know, what you've seen on tape and how you guys are able to continue the trend that you've had defensively against them.
I mean, you know, Derek Carr, obviously, you got the passing leader of the league. You know, we're going to have to be able to contain him, take those shots away. Not let him extend plays. Got a lot of respect for Josh Jacobs. He runs super hard. He's got that quick burst, especially when he runs, you know, in those runs. He's got that one cut mentality, and he likes to get downhill, and he likes to, you know, he brings it every play. So definitely gonna have to, you know, bring it with him. And you know, they got dudes that can roll it wide out. So we're gonna have to do our thing.
You know, they also, you know, and I haven't seen a lot of Raiders games, but we all watched the Thanksgiving Day game. They use Mariota too in there, you know, in yep. Short yardage as a dual threat guy. So I'm sure you guys are preparing for that as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, they, like I said, they like Mariota for the run, you know, those RPOs, the Q reads, you know, trying to get him going in that. Run game, because when you can run with the quarterback, you get that extra blocker. So, you know, we're just getting ready for all the stuff they could possibly throw at us with him.
Yeah, when the quarterback runs, it's 11-on-11. That's what every coach that loves running read option football will tell you. It's oh. Different when it's 11-on-11 versus 10-on-11, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, it's definitely you got to respect that aspect of when a guy can run like that and use his legs.
Cole, I enjoyed it. I really appreciate the time. Best of luck on Sunday, and make it 4 in a row.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Cole Holcomb, everybody. Good to catch up with him. He was great. Ron Rivera is going to join us at 8. Ben Standy coming up shortly. I've got Washington beats Raiders, my keys to a win Sunday in Vegas, and an update on the point spread Sunday. It has changed. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Coming up at 8, I've got my keys to a Washington win over the Raiders coming up here shortly. Ben Standig, our Washington football team insider, joins us on the show right now. Of course, Ben writes for The Athletic. I would urge you to subscribe. Also follow Ben on Twitter at Ben Standig and listen to his podcast as well. Let me just tell you and Brendan simultaneously, and I noticed this late last night, the line dropped from Raiders minus 2.5 to now Raiders minus 1. The Raiders at home with the extra long break, having not played since Thanksgiving, beating the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, are a mere 1-point favorite at home over Washington. Now, why did the line drop 1.5? I have no idea. Brendan, there's been no like major injury news on the Raiders front or COVID issue on the Raiders front that I've read about. Have either of you heard anything that's going on with the Raiders and COVID or Derek Carr? Because usually it's not 1.5 drop unless there's something going on or if the sharp guys just decided Washington's going to win this game.
DeSean Jackson didn't practice yesterday, and I think Darren Waller, I'm not sure if he'd been officially ruled out, but I guess I did a radio show out there, and they were sounding like they don't think he's going to play. So I don't know if the combination of that, because obviously from a Washington perspective, those have got to be like the two guys you're really worried about in the passing game. It doesn't sound like Waller will play. And I mean, DeSean, I don't know exactly what to make of that. So that might be one thing. Other than that, you know, this is your expertise. I don't know.
It's my expertise. Yeah, usually those position players don't move a line like that. Now, Jackson was a real factor. You know, he's been a factor in the two games, you know, against the Chiefs and the Cowboys, obviously a factor against the Cowboys. And Waller is big time, even though I think their backup tight end has played pretty well when Waller's been out. At least that's what Charch told us yesterday, I think, Brendan. I don't know. It could be that. I mean, who are their receivers without Jackson? Renfro's been catching a lot of balls. Zay Jones catches balls. Who else am I missing? You got Jacobs. You got Drake in the backfield. The backup tight end is the guy Foster Moreau, not Fabian Moreau, who's backing up Waller, who Charch thinks is going to catch just as many passes as Waller would.
Line. Obviously, it's a good point that Bob, obviously people could just be looking at it and thinking, oh, I don't know, Washington is hot. I mean, the Raiders did win on Thanksgiving, but they also had just lost 3 in a row right before that. The thing I think with DeSean, at least for me, was he helped fill in what they were losing with the Henry Ruggs situation. And now you take, you know, Ruggs and Waller out potentially here, you know, then – you know, so, yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I wouldn't think DeSean Jackson playing or not playing is moving the line one way or the other. But, maybe there is some more belief that Washington is something to consider. I don't know. Tyler Larson was back as a limited participant for Washington. Maybe that gave people a boost the other way. I don't know.
That's funny. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course. Let's start there after our little point spread discussion. Who is going to play and who isn't? I'm going to ask Rivera, you know, about Samuel and Thomas. I'm assuming both of those are ready to go. I'm wondering if Samuel's on a pitch count or not. Benjamin St. Juice to the IR. Now we know why he hadn't been playing. Give me, you know, the overall who's in, who's out right now based on what you know.
Well, I mean, you know, there's another week, another round of questions. You know, people who had missed practice to this point, Landon Collins hasn't practiced the last couple of days.
Why?
But with a foot, it's a foot. I mean, he did get banged up, we saw in the last game, but, you know, they brought him out to the podium to us after the win. So typically if you do that, the injury isn't, I wouldn't think the injury would be that significant, but we'll see. He hasn't practiced. Obviously today will be a big day for that. I mean, J.D. McKissic is probably one I'm a little more concerned about. You know, obviously he left, you know, in a more obvious way. Carter off the other day with what they said was a neck. Now he shows up on the injury report with a concussion. Just yesterday they added the fullback that the Saints had just released this week that was with Rivera in Carolina. And the fact that they picked up a guy who just was cut, you know, kind of suggests they may be looking for some sort of an immediate depth play there. So I think McKissic is somebody to keep an eye on. And then obviously on the offensive line, Eric Flowers was noticeably hobbled yesterday at practice, then didn't practice. And you still have the center situation. Schweitzer was not practicing. And like I mentioned, Tyler Larson was back limited. All that could lead to Keith Ismail making the start at the fourth string center. And then if Flowers were to be out, that would be Sadiq Charles probably at left guard. So, you know, the offensive line has continued to play and play well despite all these injuries. But, you know, at some point this becomes – problem. So I think Flowers is a big deal, but like I said, so is McKissic as well for, you know, for what he provides his offense. So there's definitely some things to keep an eye on as we get to practice today.
All right, Ben Standing joining us. I'm going to ask you the question that I asked callers yesterday and that Brendan and I tossed around, and that is, you know, what are we actually watching right now here over the last 3 weeks? Are we watching, you know, a good team surging towards the postseason? Are we just watching an improved team that played, you know, a couple of teams here over the last 2 weeks that weren't necessarily that good offensively in particular? Or is it just one of those NFL aberrations where, you know, anybody can win a couple of games in a row? What do you think it's been?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's a great question. We did a sort of a group project effort on The Athletic for today, addressing a few different questions about the team, and one of them is exactly that. What are we seeing? And look, I think it's sort of probably, whether it's real or sort of just something that's happening in the moment, I think this is the game that is going to tell us what's going on. Because I feel like at this point, you know, I think most of us are like, hey, this is kind of cute, right? This team was kind of left for dead. And now all of a sudden they've won three in a row. They're firmly in the playoff situation. Oh, that's kind of cool. But is it real? You know, I think part of the thing with the NFL is, as I'm sure you guys have discussed a bunch, you know, the top of this league is kind of trash right now. There's no, like I did the, I was helping with the power rankings that we put up on The Athletic, yeah. And, you know, rank everybody 1 to 32. And when I got to the top 10, not even talking about the order, just who belongs in the top 10, I was struggling to find 10 teams, which isn't to say that I think Washington is one of the top 10 teams. It is to say that, you know, other than the teams with the Aaron Rodgers and the Tom Brady, I don't know. I mean, they could be, maybe they are there. They did beat Tampa Bay. You know, if they keep winning games, I don't care who they're playing. You can't ignore that. On the other hand, you know, between the injuries and what we saw for the first 8 weeks, I'm not going to sit here and say, boy, here we go. This team, you know, Taylor Heinicke is, you know, he's still inexperienced and the defense is missing a lot of pieces, but they're now one of the best teams in football. So I don't know. I mean, I know I hate giving the wishy-washy we'll see kind of answer, but it does feel like this is the game for me. If they win this game, it's going to be pretty hard to argue that this isn't the real thing. But at the same point, I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can be a team that's playing well and still not be a good team. And that's the question now. And I kind of agree with you as well. I think Sunday's a real big test. You know, I think Vegas is definitely capable offensively, much more capable offensively than their last two opponents. And I'm not going to say more capably offensively than Tampa, although Tampa was a bit depleted, you know, overall, offensively and defensively coming off that bye week game. But still, I'm not going to take anything away from what Washington's done to make these teams look ordinary. But Seattle was the worst offensive team they faced all year. And it was probably the worst quarterback team that they have faced all year, which is incredible to say because Russell Wilson was their quarterback. But he was not Russell Wilson on Monday night until magically on the final drive he became Russell Wilson. So they're getting, you know, this big test. There's actually, for the first time since early in the season, to Ben, expectations. You know, they've been playing basically six, seven, 8 weeks without any expectations. So now there's some expectations. It's a better team. It's a road game. I would imagine that all of these road teams have had a significant number of fans in the Vegas stadium. I don't know that for a fact. I know when Philadelphia was there a few weeks ago, Philadelphia scored early. It almost sounded like a home game for Philadelphia. But I agree with you. I think this is like the measuring stick game. And if they come through it, we're going to have a massive game a week from Sunday at FedEx Field. I mean, it'll be the biggest home game in many, many years. If they win Sunday and they're facing Dallas next Sunday at home.
Right. Because that's the other thing. We've talked for months and months and months about how, wow, what a weird schedule they have. The last five games against division opponents, will it matter? And, you know, obviously through when they left Denver, the answer seemed to be no. It will not matter other than just to say, well, you don't want to ever lose your opponents and division opponents and so on. And now it could matter in the fact that, get through this game and also look at the whole landscape. We talked about this last week, but it continues to happen. Look, Washington had no breaks from an injury perspective the first 8 weeks. They're still playing without Chase Young and Montez Sweat. You mentioned Curtis Samuel's back, but he's not all the way back at this point, as it doesn't appear. And I just mentioned other injuries that are occurring, but the amount of issues now happening to the other teams, just to the big time players, the Christian McCaffreys, Dalvin Cooks, and so on, you know, is significant, and that's all going to benefit Washington. So yeah, if they get through this game, and they get it to Dallas. Obviously, Dallas took care of business for themselves yesterday against the Saints, but you know, it sets up an absolutely huge game. And you know, I will just say this for me, in terms of what kind of crowd will be there. This is incredibly anecdotal, but in terms of just booking this trip, I didn't book it yesterday, but I didn't book it in June either. When I did start to book it, I think probably around like September, the prices for Vegas were extraordinary, both the plane and the hotels. I know Vegas has other things going on this weekend, but it seems to me there may be a pretty decent amount of people from this area headed out to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible they'll get their most, I don't know. I don't want to talk about the crowds anymore. The crowds have been what they've been. We understand that. We understand the reasons why. I do think for, you know, Jason Wright and for everybody in that organization, a win this Sunday, and they've got a chance to have, well, they will have anyway because of the Dallas contingent, but they'll have the biggest crowd they've had all year next Sunday, and it will be, it'll be an environment next Sunday if they beat the Raiders. It might be anyway with all the Dallas fans, but you get a Washington team with four wins in a row. In Dallas, they won last night, but it was not an impressive win by any stretch of the imagination. They still do not look like the team that jumped out to a 6-1 start. They haven't over the last month. Maybe that changes. All right, give me just a couple of things that you're thinking about in terms of, you know, how they go in and win this game.
Well, I mean, you know, look, the basic formula that seems to be working is the offense is doing a great job running the ball. That is taking a lot of pressure off of Taylor Heinicke, allowing him to be in play action, which is where he's been thriving. And it's kept the defense fresher, kept them off the field, and they've been playing with a lot of spirit, if nothing else, during this stretch. And, you know, it is about the most simplistic NFL formula ever, and it also always works. So if they can keep doing that, and the Raiders are one of the worst teams in the league in terms of stopping the run this year. I think they're ranked like 24th or somewhere in that range. Then that could be something, you know, that could work yet again. And again, we'll see what happens. I think the Eric Flowers thing is a big deal. He's been, you know, their offensive line has been the strength of this team all year, and I think Flowers has been, you know, along with Leno, was really solidified the left side of the line and giving them a real force out there. So that could be, you know, that to me is probably the one injury of all the ones to keep an eye on. You know, if they can do those things, you know, the obvious limit the turnovers, then, you know, they're in good position. If DeSean Jackson is healthy, you know, he's always an incredible scary guy out there. And Washington did give up some big plays last week to Tyler Lockett. You know, you mentioned Russell Wilson was not good. You know, Derek Carr has been pretty good this year. So, you know, if he has opportunities, you know, he may strike. So you're going to have to, the secondary is going to have to lock those down. But, you know, yeah, run the ball, run the clock, and keep the defense fresh. I mean, that seems like it's working. So I would keep doing that.
Now, what's your prediction?
Oh, boy. Nothing like predicting anything when I go to Vegas.
You do this, I mean, by the way, you do this every week. When I ask you, you're like, oh, boy, I hadn't really thought about it. Let me think about it now. How is it that we're at Friday and you haven't thought about it or been asked to give your prediction yet?
Well, only you care about what I think, so I appreciate that.
I do care about you think.
But also, like I said, like I just – it's not like these – I mean, the game last week was the first game I felt like I really didn't have much of a clue, but that was more because I just didn't know what to make of Seattle coming in, how desperate would they be and whatever. You know, I would probably pick Vegas if you tell me everybody – you know, that they've got some of their offensive pieces there and Washington's got these injuries. But this is what I'm saying. With the NFL, I mean, the variables are just such that everybody is kind of whatever. They're all in the middle and they're parity and – I just think that makes – I personally don't like parity, so to me it makes it a struggle. Like I said, I would pick Vegas, but if you're telling me if DeSean Jackson and Darren Waller are out, I think that really limits their offense, and I think at that point I might flip it towards Washington. But I guess I would go Vegas at home, and considering the injuries for Washington, and it just maybe gets to a point where it's too many. But, again, I'm not discounting what they're doing. The momentum is real, whether they are, like we just said. I think we're about to find out.
I don't think you've picked Washington since very early in the season. I think that's true. I picked Washington last week, and it was the first time I had picked them in a while.
Certainly didn't pick them against Tampa. Probably didn't pick them against Carolina. I think I picked them last week to beat Seattle. But,
you did?
Okay. Yeah. Right. At least that's how my brain seems to recall
you
things.
You might be right about that. Thank you, as always. We'll chat on Monday. Ben Standing is this show's Washington football team insider. Please subscribe to The Athletic. It's totally worth it. Ben writes so often about the football team. It's worth it just from that standpoint. And they've got a great deal going on. Follow Ben on Twitter. Listen to his podcast. And he joins us every Friday and Monday before the game and then after the game on this show. I will talk to you on Monday. Thanks. Have a good weekend. Have a good trip.
Cool. I need those smell test picks. I'm actually going to Vegas.
Where are you staying, first of all?
I'm going old school. I'm not staying at a fancy community place. I'm going old school. This is the way it kind of worked out. But
where are you staying?
I don't want to say the exact hotel. No, but some the equivalent of that. I don't want to say I don't want the people showing up at my hotel. I'm kidding.
Okay.
But
yeah, I know.
You know. Well,
Will you be gambling? Will you be partaking in table games?
Kevin, I thought you knew me. Of course I'm going to be doing these things.
I don't know you. What do you play? Do you play? What's your favorite game in a casino?
I mean, I've been known to sit at a blackjack table for 1 to 10 hours at a time. I don't know.
I wish I were there. There's nothing better than sitting at a blackjack table with a bunch of good dudes, drinking beers and playing cards for like you said, 1 or 10 hours. There have been many 10-plus-hour nights, I think. What were you going to say? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was going to say I'm legitimately surprised you're not coming. I mean, I guess you have like work and family and, you know, I have responsibilities. But, you know, yeah, I figured this was a Kevin Sheehan trip all over it.
I will tell you that I thought about it at the beginning of the year, and there were a bunch of friends that are making the trip. And once it became apparent a few weeks ago that this game was going to be completely meaningless, not that that should have factored in at all. You know, anytime a trip to Vegas shouldn't really be contingent on even going to the game. Look, if I had gone, I probably wouldn't have even gone to the game. I would have just been in the sports book watching the game. I had stuff going on and just backed out of it. Have fun. I got to roll. See you.
Yeah.
All right. Ben Standing, everybody. Keys to a win over the Raiders when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. Let me tell you about Window Nation right now. This is a new opportunity. December cold is going to arrive. By the way, snow is in the forecast for next week. It might be kind of a snow-rain mix, and it may just turn out to be rain. But it's going to be cold, and there's some winter weather headed our way. That means higher energy bills. Window Nation can help. Get 50% off Bose, bays, double hung, and sliders. Any style window. Plus, get a house full of windows for only $99 a month. Basically, for a cup of coffee a day. This incredible deal is only good through the end of December. Weather impacts your windows. Hot days and cold nights cause, like, the caulk to crack around your windows. And Window Nation, all they do is windows. And they use the best materials when they install your windows. With these natural gas prices continuing to rise, your energy bill is going to be super high this year. If you think you've got old drafty windows and you've been thinking about new ones, give Window Nation the first shot. I've been endorsing Window Nation for 12 years. I wouldn't have done it as long as I've done it if I didn't have complete trust in them. They've got the experience. They've got the credibility. They've been trusted by over 100,000 homeowners across the country, including me. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. You'll get a free estimate from Window Nation. Again, natural gas prices are on the rise, resulting in higher gas bills. New Window Nation windows will help. Get 50% off any style windows plus a house full of windows for only $99 a month. Hurry, this offer won't last long. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.